lights on her at all. They could only see her by shining the shuttle searchlights, and by the time they had come closer, to within a few hundred meters of the drifting ship's hull, they could pick out details just one tantalizing spot at a time. "Command looks intact," Gomez said, as the searchlight tracked across the huge sphere at the front of the ship. The sphere was dotted with dark windows and sensor apertures, with comms antennae protruding from circular pits, but there was no sign of any inhabitation or power. The front hemisphere of the globe was pored with countless tiny impact craters too, but that was also the case for the Santiago, and at first glance this ship seemed not to have suffered any more damage than that. "Take us further down the spine," Gomez said. Norquinco, behind them, was busying himself with more schematics of the old ship. Sky tapped the thrusters lightly, sending them cruising slowly past the command sphere, and then the cylindrical module that followed it, the one that would have held the Caluche's own shuttles and freight stores. Everything looked exactly as it should have done. Even the entry ports were situated in the same places. "I'm not seeing any major damage," Gomez said. "I thought the radar showed." "It did," Sky said, "but the damage was all on the other side. We'll loop around to the engine section and come back up." They tracked slowly down the spine, the searchlights revealing circles of bright detail amidst greater darkness. Sleeper module after sleeper module passed by. Sky had started counting them, half expecting that some might be missing, but after a while he knew there was no point. They were all still present and correct. The ship, apart from the minor abrasive weathering, was still exactly as she had been when launched. "There's something about her, though," Gomez said, squinting, "something that doesn't look quite right." "I don't see anything out of place," Sky said.
"She looks normal enough to me, too," Norquinco said, looking up momentarily from the far more interesting prospect of his data schematics.
"No, she doesn't. She looks like she's not quite in focus. Can't you see that as well?"
"It's a contrast effect," Sky said. "Your eyes can't deal with the difference in illumination between the lit and unlit parts."
"If you say so." They continued in silence, not really wanting to acknowledge that what Gomez had said was true, and that there was something not quite right about the Caluche. Sky remembered what Norquinco had told him about the ghost ship story, how it was said that the old sailing ship had been able to surround itself with mist so that no one ever saw it clearly. Thankfully, Norquinco refrained from reminding him of that. It would have been about all he could take.
"There's no infrared from the sleeper berths," Gomez said eventually, when they were most of the way down the spine.
"I don't think that's a good sign, Sky. If the berths were still operational, we'd see the infrared coming from the cooling systems. You can't keep something cold without making heat somewhere else. The Momios can't still be alive."
"Then cheer up," Sky said. "You wanted a ghost ship? Now you've got one."
"I don't think there are ghosts on it, Sky. Just a lot of dead people." They passed the end of the spine where it coupled to the propulsion unit. They were closer now, only 10 or 15 meters from the hull, and the details should have been pin sharp, but there was no denying what Gomez had pointed out. It was as if the ship was being seen behind a screen of slightly mottled glass, blurring every edge except the one between the ship and space. It was as if the ship had melted slightly and then re-solidified. It wasn't right.
"Well, there's no sign of major damage to the propulsion section," Gomez said. "The antimatter must still be inside, kept penned on residual power."
"But there's no sign of any power at all. Not a single running light."
"So she's turned off every non-essential system. But the antimatter has to be inside her, Sky."